back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively celebrating 25 years of doing this. Make sure you're checking out our WNST Stories of Glory. We were also at Coco's last week celebrating the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, courtesy of our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation and Jiffy Lube. We're on hiatus, though. We're on hiatus right now. We're going to be at the Hollywood Casino in Perryville watching the Ravens-Titans game for breakfast on October 15th, celebrating my 55th birthday as well. Hopefully we're celebrating the Orioles still being very alive in the baseball campaign, and certainly the Ravens have no idea where they're going to be by the time we get there. I know they're on the road for the next month. I've written about that out at columnists, including the power of three, including 3 seconds on the clock after a free kick, after a safety at 2:03, 3 points that Justin Tucker didn't get, a 63-yard field goal that was not attempted, and 5 3-pointers, including 4 50-yard field goals in the aftermath of a tropical storm that really broke this guy's heart, because I know one thing, he's never going to let this Colts thing go. It has been, it'll be 40 years in March. And they came in and did us dirty on a Sunday afternoon while the Orioles were getting their magic number down to, you guessed it, 3. We welcome Dennis Colatzos out from Coons Ford Security Boulevard. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5 o'clock. And he'll be back again on Sunday morning as the Ravens go to Cleveland. Dennis, I'm going to say the same thing to you that I'm saying to all my guests that aren't Rick Dempsey or Alan McCallum this week, where I'm only going to talk baseball with them. I have two colors for you. I have orange and I have purple. Which is the glass half full or is it half empty? Which is it, Dennis?
Always half full. Always half full. Me being the optimist. And let's not forget about Kyle Hamilton. Hamilton's 3 sacks in the first half. And the fact that the Ravens could have been 3-0, but no, they're 2-1. And the name of the game for me and Nestor were turnovers. I thought the only way that this squad from Indianapolis had a chance to beat the Ravens was if the Ravens put the ball on the ground. That's exactly what they did. And to me, that was a difference. Everything else is, it's a bit of noise, you know, a few inches here, first down there, missed a kick here, missed opportunities. But to me, it was the turnovers were the backbreakers.
Where are you on the injury side? And listen, I'm not giving Harbaugh any rope on any of his integrity issues that he has numerous that I've accounted to, but in the aftermath of the game and these sham press conferences where we didn't get you had a timeout. The difference between 2:03 and 1:58 is big enough to get you beat. Absolutely. It got them beat. It got them beat, right? So all of that being aside, for all the problems they've had, I don't want to say I feel sorry for them given their injuries, but they are certainly playing. When you start to add up where the game ended, right, where the game ended. So take Humphrey, Williams, Ajabo when the game ended. The offensive side, Linderbaum, Stanley, OBJ, Bateman. Take Dobbins and throw him out as well, right? And then you take Gus Edwards out. Dude, they're like a Pop Warner team. I mean, they're playing out there. No offense to Patrick McCary or Mustafa or these guys that are trying hard, right? And the Kyle Hamiltons that are shining in this, and Zay Flowers who could shine. But if you account for the football team we talked about for 5-6 months, beginning after the draft and through mini camps and training camp and what we expected to be on the field in week 3, the injuries are mounting up early and often, and it's really affecting everything Todd Monken wants to do, everything they thought Lamar Jackson could do and the weapons he'd have and the protection he'd have. They're 2-1 and they're a heartbeat away from being 3-0. They should have been. They cost themselves the game, but they are not firing on all cylinders in any way. And it's hard to get a gauge on the team when it's this choppy and when they don't have their real players on the field.
Well, a couple points here, Nestor. Joe D'Alessandro is highly regarded as a very good offensive line coach. Now, Sam Mustafa, all the Bears fans said he's terrible. And he played well against the Bengals, not so well against the Colts. Was Patrick McCary at center a better option? Was Morgan Moses a better option at left tackle? Was Daniel Feleli a better option at right tackle? These are the kind of questions that I have in regards to the offensive line, because Lamar Jackson is going to go as the offensive line goes, right? When they're when they can't open up holes, when they're letting pressure from the sides up the middle, he won't be as effective. So that's
well, he
job
will be
one.
If you spread it out and run the ball, right? Like they tried to do in the third quarter and just said, screw it, let's go back to 2019, which is that is their fallback, and that's it also opens up to Lamar to getting hit and hurt.
It does. And you made a point of look that these quarterbacks aren't built to run into 250-pound linebackers. The Colts starting quarterback, Anthony Richardson, he's about 6'5", 250. He found that out the hard way a week ago. You just can't do that. I don't care how big you are. But with that said, the Colts were without their starting quarterback. And we saw Gardner Minshew was very pedestrian. He couldn't identify Kyle Hamilton coming off the edge, right? He was blind to that. He missed some open guides that he had downfield. They were without Jonathan Taylor. They're probably top three running back in the NFL. Every team has injuries, and teams have to overcome. And the Ravens had no different. This was a winnable ball game. The Colts showed a lot of grit to their credit, and they took the Ravens deep water, and they drowned them. And that's what happened. So the injuries, every team has them, Nestor, and it's just how do you overcome those injuries? How do you play above them? And above all, how do you not beat yourself? Lamar Jackson being careless with the ball, Kenyon Drake dropping up, fumbling the ball downfield. And the other piece is, I don't think anybody else has really looked at it. Maybe we should look at it closer. I don't believe Lamar Jackson is a great inclement weather quarterback. He likes a nice, dry, warm field. When it's wet outside and when it's, the elements aren't real good, he tends not to play so well.
I think he tends to not play so well dropping back into a pocket that's collapsing around him that he's having trouble seeing over and having trouble being accurate on the fly when there's people in his face. And I think he's gotten enough footsteps in his time to not just take off and run, certainly not early in the game. Maybe when it gets a little more desperate, gets a little more garbage time, gets a little more, hey, it's third down, I got to get a first down, I'm still the best chance for us to get a first down. And I don't even say this with disrespect, although people take it that way, he's their best option on offense, is still him running the football. That's either good or bad. That's good that they have a play no one else can have that's very difficult to defense when they go five wide, but they also don't have Patrick Carr out there lead blocking in those occasions. And it's not why they paid him $50 million a year. It's not how they're going to win a Super Bowl. It's why they jettisoned Greg Roman and made him the fall guy, in my opinion, because I think Greg Roman looked at this. Greg Roman's like Billick. He can draw up plays for Randall Cunningham and Air Coryell. He can draw all that up. But when you don't have the horses for the course and you can't protect the quarterback because the left tackle never gets on the field and you don't have a running game because you can't keep a running back healthy and you can't keep the quarterback healthy after Halloween and your wide receivers, you go out and we're drafting this guy and paying this guy $15 million and we got this first round guy and they can't get him on the field. And when you get him on the field, you want to draw a place to stretch the field. You can't stretch the field because you don't have 5 or 6 seconds to drop him back, protect him enough to get him to throw the ball on time and not on the run out of the pocket where he's always thinking, am I going to get hit and I'm just going to run like hell? Because that's his instinct. His instinct is run like hell. His instinct isn't, oh, let me look down the field and see what I can find when the play breaks down. That's not his strength. And yeah, it for me, hearing the footsteps of Greg Roman this week about he's doing this, he's doing that, they're not drawing it up, or I thought we got rid of Roman, like all of that. It's what do you want them to do when Patrick McCurry's playing left tackle, Mustafer's playing center, there ain't no more J.K. Dobbins, I'm not convinced Andrews is 100%, you know, likely drops the ball. It's not as good as advertised. Now, they're 2-1, and they should be 3-0, and that would be, I don't want to say fool's gold, we'll find out. They're going to Cleveland, they're going to Pittsburgh, they're going to London. They may come back 5-1. And the Orioles might come back eliminated. I don't know. Time will tell on all of that the next couple of weeks. But these three road games are coming at – I don't say – it's never a good time to go play three games in a row on a road, right, especially halfway around the world, which you're going to have to do when they have all these injuries to begin with. But from the fans' perspective, tickets were $10 on Sunday, Dennis. Like –
you get them cheap.
They're
going to
be
about
quiet
that.
The next month, and it's going to become an Oriole thing here that they can go work out whatever their early season problems and come back 3-2 or 2-3 or 5-1. That there's not going to be as much pressure on them from the fan base as there might have been if the Orioles were eliminated and they went and laid this turd for the Colts.
Yeah, what really got me, Nestor, where the culture playing a two deep zone the whole game, but you still got to take a shot downfield. And there were times where he did have time to go downfield deep. The week prior, he threw a nice deep ball to a double covered Zay Flowers. Just because they come out and put a shell around you and play a two deep zone doesn't mean you don't take your shots. So that was another thing I thought they should have done it. Throw a couple deep balls. Maybe they get a pass interference. Maybe they get a play that flips the field. I just didn't see that downfield aggressiveness that I was looking forward to seeing under Ton Monken.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, like at halftime, just throw the ball and hope that, you know, when you get the ball with 3 seconds left and you
Sure.
can't kick a field
Chuck it
goal,
down there.
just throw the ball down there and see if somebody gets your flag, get cheap 3 points, run Tucker out there, you know. Like Dennis Colatzos is here. He will be back here again on Thursday from 3 until 5, doing his thing. You can find him at Dennis Colatzos Show out on social media as well. You done with football? You want to do baseball? You ready? I mean, hey, listen, on a
I'm all
Monday,
over the
we never had
place.
that option around here till now, right?
Look, I was grateful that I was undercover during the game. My seats were great, and I saw some extra football. I like overtime football. I think I'm getting more value for my money. The outcome wasn't what we wanted, of course, but I enjoy overtime games. I also enjoy competitive nip and tuck matches. That's what we saw, but it was nice that they announced the Orioles score. They kept announcing the Orioles score at the stadium. Drew lots of cheers from the Ravens crowd. But yeah, Orioles, look, they keep going to the brink of disaster and coming back. They're finding ways, and now John Means looks like he's back, which helps them a lot between him and Grayson. Look out, they get their pitching worked out, and of course the bullpen. That's a big question, isn't it?
Well, the sky was falling Saturday morning, right? You and I did
Yes.
Saturday morning show here over coffee. We all would have been losing our minds, right? And that's what this is going to feel like. And I've talked to Luke about this week. Like, close this thing out Wednesday night, Thursday night. Like, let's get this over with. Let's have a party for Jim Palmer. Let's sell out the stadium Saturday. Did you get your playoff tickets?
Nope.
All right. Yeah, I mean,
I have friends that did, though. I know some
I had
people.
them up on my screen and I saw the price and I turned to my wife and I'm like, that's put $600 on a credit card for one night in
No,
October
not
that
me.
might
Not me.
happen. And I kept thinking,
That's not me.
I don't know that I have I mean, I'm thinking that for like World Series tickets, like they'll get offered to me and they'll be face value at 4 and a quarter a piece. And I have to think, do I have a $1,000 night in me? And I did that once for Springsteen up at Broadway 6, 7 years ago when he first came out and did his thing. And I felt sort of like it couldn't have been worth that much. It was good. It
Right.
was really good. It was awesome. Wasn't that awesome? And
Hey.
like I've been to 58 World Series games in my life, Dennis. I've done the math on this. I'm trying to figure out all of this and watching games and play. And like Luke and I are going to travel to either Toronto or Tampa, which is where it looks like it's going to be 2 weeks from now. They're going to let Luke in. They're not going to let me in. I'll probably buy a cheap ticket in Tampa for sure, right? Weather's going to be good. I mean, I want to feel it. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part down at Camden Yards. But that being said, even if I had that kind of disposable income, and even if I love the team, the notion that, all right, the tickets are on sale and a strip is $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, that's a hell of an outlay for anybody. And
It
that
is.
being said, I was a guy that ran trips, went on trips, took trips, asked people for big numbers. This Tottenham London thing, I mean, I know one or two people that are going. Half the city went 17, and the knee and the politics, like everything that had, they lost awfully. Like all of those thoughts, there's only so much money. There's only so much bandwidth. There's only so much John Mayer and Queen at CFG Bank Arena. There's only so much all of this. And when I saw the $10 tickets on Sunday for the Colts being in town, boy, you hate the Colts, but the city doesn't hate the Colts anymore. Not in the way that
No,
we have to go out and beat their ass
no.
and consider them a different team. The wind's blowing in a different direction. A lot of people spent a lot of money on baseball tickets last week, and all of a sudden, football tailgate, the weather, it rained a little bit. It was 65 and raining.
It was a good crowd, though. It was a festive crowd. The people that showed up, they were very vocal, very loud. So I was really impressed and encouraged by that. Very loud crowd.
I heard third down. I mean, I heard it big
Yeah.
time.
Yeah,
I
they were
also
into
heard it
it.
for the Steelers in Las Vegas too, as they traveled, right?
I didn't watch the game, it was too late for me, but no, the crowd was very, very vocal. They were into it. They were loud, and the ones that showed up, I mean, they represented us very, very well. So very pleased about that. Definitely gave the Ravens a home field advantage. Gardner Minshew did have trouble hearing on some of those third down calls.
Yeah, I and it, not so much in the third quarter, but when the game got tight at the
Oh, yeah.
end, it was much harder. I thought he was operating too. I looked up at one point. I'm like, oh, come on now, don't fall asleep here, because the game was never in hand, Dennis. I
Oh,
mean, I
you know
never
what?
thought the Ravens were going to lose it, but the game was never
No.
comfortable in any way. It was the type of game that they were susceptible to having bad things happen if they did something stupid, like fair catch a punt. A free kick at 2:03 that literally, I mean, Harbaugh, I don't want to cry. I mean, we're 20 minutes into this. I could crush him all day. He got crushed plenty on Sunday night, but
He did, deservedly
TU.
so too. But yeah, look, when Minshew stepped out of the end zone and the Ravens got that 2-point safety,
That's the end of the game.
I thought the game was done. I think all of us thought the game was done. And I'm like, okay, it's over. We got him. And then it's over until it's not over, right? That's the NFL. Goes right down to the last second, the last play. And my controller, she's been here 40 years. She always says, whatever team's winning with the 2 minute with 2 minutes to go in a one score game ends up losing in the NFL. And doggone it, every time I've looked at that, and the Ravens game is no different, that's exactly what's happened.
I tweeted out, and I tweeted this out at the 2 point when he stepped on the back line and I saw it. I tweeted out, load up the Mayflowers and send the losers back to
Oh
Indy.
my gosh.
And I couldn't even
That's
take it down afterwards, because I'm not the kind of guy that's going to just take it down. And some people went on there and said, you want to send the Ravens to Indy too? Because they lost. Dennis Colatzos is here. He'll be here on Thursday. On the baseball side of things, and the ebb and flow of what we saw Thursday and Friday, and disappointment in the bullpen and wherever, I know they can win. Are you a true believer that we're going to be? And I wrote about this in Columnist, because listen, this Billy Joel Stevie Nicks show, it's going to be a little bit of a mess with game one. So there's going to be a Raven Oriole issue, and if the Orioles win game six of the ALCS, would be the day of the Lions game, which is the next home game, by the way. The next time they play at home, the Orioles would potentially be hosting game six of the American League Championship Series, or eliminated, or in the World Series, because they won in five, right? Like,
That's
all of
amazing.
that's possible before the next time you go to the stadium and sit there. I mean, that's kind of a heavy hand as a guy that's been doing this for 32 years and 25 years at NST. Like, we really haven't had anything like this in September.
No, we really haven't. These are uncharted waters for a lot of us, and so this is great. It's wonderful, right? Ravens are away. Orioles, so presumably we'll have some home games. And look, it doesn't get better than this for the city of Baltimore. It's a chance for the city to shine, for people to see the city, et cetera. Great for the economy. Good stuff. Gives us a chance to focus on the Orioles.
Well, and I love that, and being Baltimore positive, I love that the downtown's going to be packed.
Yeah,
Like, I mean, I'll
good
be down at
stuff.
the Nest this week, Friday and Saturday. We got this concert in Ocean City this weekend that's going on. Some folks are going down there. I mean, the football team, as I pointed out, the football team is just, you got your PSLs, your seasons. You know, there's one game on the 21st they're going to play before they either win or lose the World Series in the next 5, 6 weeks. So the Ravens are going to go away in this orange thing. And it's going to go away next week too, right? I mean, the Orioles are going to clinch here this week. I'm pretty convinced of that. They better not clinch. Once they clinch, they're going to have this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week, where there's going to be batting practice, and there's going to be watching these other teams all fight in the middle of the night about, you know, who's going to be the wild card, and that crazy 3-game series where game one is like everything. We're going to be able to watch all of that and gear up and ramp up for this amazing weekend in Baltimore that we really haven't had here, where we really have hope of winning a world, where you're the one seed, where you have the bye, you get your pitching together, you get guys healthy, try to get Mountcastle healthy too, right? I mean, of guys trying to get back. I don't think we're going to get Batista, but as much as we're trying to get the Ravens healthy, and that to me is as big a story as anything, is where Humphrey, Stanley, Linderbaum, OBJ, I mean, all half the team wasn't on the field on Sunday and they lost. Getting that other half back is going to make the difference in Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, when Harbaugh says, great news, these guys aren't locked for the season. Well, the best ability is availability, and every game they're not available, against when it's your starting center, left tackle, et cetera, it really hurts your teams and your team chances of advancing and having a positive outcome. So the sooner these guys can get back on the field, the better off this team's going to be.
What's going on at Koontz Baltimore Ford and all of the? I see these Ford commercials and all these plug-in cars and all the 0% and like all that stuff.
Yep.
I know on a daily basis. I mean, you're staying pretty busy out there.
Yeah, it's changing. We're selling a lot of Mach-Es, 0% for 60 months, 1.9 for 72 months. That's a very hot seller for us.
What is Mach-E?
It's the electric Mustang, right? It's an SUV, super fast, super slick, super stylish, and it's selling like hotcakes. The F-150s are moving very well, and we have about 250 plus in stock, 150 coming in. So we have a lot more inventory than most dealers, a lot deeper discounts. You know, we're a volume store. We make every deal that we come across. So business has been very good for us, Nestor.
Well, I think about, old Escorts and Explorers and SUV, like, and how tastes change. And you say something like
Yeah.
Mach-E, I'm like, what's that?
Mach-E.
That doesn't sound like the Pinto I remember,
It's not the Pinto. My God. If I had that instead of a Pinto at college, maybe I would have gotten a date.
I told you, man, that Ford Contour SVT that I had back in is the best. I can't believe I ever got rid of it. Dumbest thing I ever did. You have that one car in your life you got rid of, and you're like, shouldn't have got rid of that one,
I had a red Pinto wagon and I couldn't wait to get rid of it.
My wife asked me about my 1977 Brady Bunch pea green brown panel, 185,000 miles on it. It had a rust hole in the back by
Yeah.
the tire. I don't think it would have passed inspection outside
Like a
Dundalk in
Fred
1980.
Flintstone car, right? You put your feet on the ground and get it to move.
It was sort of like what the family roadster would look like, the Chevy Chase drove in 1982, if I had it right
Vacation.
now.
Yes, exactly.
If I had it
No,
right now.
they don't make them like that anymore. Thank God.
Well, thank God you wouldn't want to sell him. That is Colossos's had a Koontz Baltimore Ford. He will not sell you my beaten up 1977 station wagon. He's got Mach-Es out there and makes room for you. He also makes room for you on Thursday between 3 and 5 right here at AM 1570 WNST as we get ready for Clinchmas, the Red Sox, and the Nationals. Are those my only choices to dance around in front of the Nationals and the Red Sox? That sounds like only. Are the Yankees unavailable this week? Can we bring them in for a rain game or something? It's going to be a good time around here. There's going to be a party. There's going to be champagne. And then there's going to be playoff baseball next week. And meantime, the Ravens only go to Cleveland and Pittsburgh and London. And Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks are coming to town. So is John Mayer and Queen and Adam Lane. All sorts of great things going on. Man, it is a Baltimore positive time of year. Only thing I can lament, and this is peach cake season's over. But other than that, everything else is alive and up for grabs here. And Cardenbiates are coming soon, too. So at least I have that from Dennis. I am Nestor. He is Dennis. Find him on Thursday or Sunday morning around here and find him at a Koontz Baltimore Ford, as well as on the front of Baltimore Positive.com. Stay with us.